Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in Gwinnett, this is Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services.
Hello and welcome to Partners for Success, presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services. I am Randy Hicks. My co-host Dennis Bonin is traveling again this week, so you may hear our outstanding producer, Mike Salmon, chime in from time to time. Mike, greetings.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. I understand you covered the game last night.
I was covering the game for Sports Radio 92.9, the game last night, the Atlanta Braves game against the who did they play last night?
I believe Colorado that was the Rockies. Yeah.
Extra innings, 10 innings, 9-8. I felt like I was actually at Coors Field because there were so many base hits and so many runs. But Andrelton Simmons came through with the clutch triple in the 10th inning to score Dan Uggla, and the Braves got the win.
Unbelievable. And the Braves also got to try out a new pitcher, I understand.
Scott Downs, they just got him from the Angels, left-handed relief pitcher, a veteran, 37 years old, came in and wasn't expected to pitch last night. He joined the team midway through the game. I mean, he actually got there halfway through the game, but because it went to extra innings, they needed him. And he went out there and threw an inning in a third and actually ends up getting the win. So he's not even here a couple hours, and he gets the win for the Braves.
That's amazing. And now he's on a contending team, so I'm sure he's got to be happy.
He has never been. He's 12 years in the majors. He's never been on a contender before. So he is enthusiastic. He's a great fit for this ball club, and he is so excited to be here.
And I'm excited for the Braves. They now lead the division by 9 games, right?
By 9 games over the Nationals. And the folks that get down on the Braves, I tell everybody, even the best teams in baseball are going to lose 60 games in a year. So it's not like football. So for those people that get down on the Braves when they don't do as well against the Marlins or Mets, just stick with them. They're going to be fine.
That's right, especially when they have hot streaks like they have now.
And this is sports talk all of a sudden here by Meridian Star Merchant Services.
Well, let's get on to something that some of our other business owners may care about besides the Braves. Let's talk just a little bit about our guest for today's show. Joining us today is DeBrandon White, CEO of Atliance Strategic Global Branding, located in Atlanta, and also Sonny Fisher, CEO and founder of Mahala, located in Roswell, Georgia. Gentlemen, glad to have you here today.
Good to be on. Thank
likewise,
you.
Likewise.
DeBrandon, tell us a little bit about Atliance. That's an interesting name, and tell us kind of what you do.
Okay. Atliance is, like you said, a strategic global branding firm. What we do is really a combination of originally a number of different companies. It was me and some of my close friends, some of my partners in the music business and film business. And right now what we do is we cover video production services, audio music production services, artist development, web development, like web design and creating websites, online marketing, and content distribution and monetization. So basically what Atliance is, in a nutshell, is the liaison or management company for independent artists, independent production companies, and the distributors or the people. So we just basically provide the tools for independents to get their content out to the people in the best way possible.
And that content is delivered typically over the web, right?
Yeah, it's mainly over the web.
Okay. Over the web. And how long really has the company been around?
We've been around officially since 2010 in June, but the whole concept was started in November 2009. And then we built everything up and officialized it 2010 summer.
Great. And what was the motivation for starting back in 2009?
The motivation was I was in the music business. I had a production company, which I still have, UNI Productions. At the time, we were doing a lot of music production for major artists and independent artists, mid-major artists. And we were doing pretty good. We had hit it pretty big with the artist Soulja Boy, who was considered like one of the pioneers in internet monetization for music musicians. We had his song Turn My Swag On, which hit number 3 on the top 100 on Billboard. It was predicted to do number one. It was number one on all the urban charts. We got a publishing deal through EMI off that record. And, you know, we were doing pretty good. We were getting a lot of phone calls. And, you know, it's that moment when you're driving and you hear your song on the radio for the first time. You got that feeling. Then you hear it 20 times the same day. And you know, think, okay, when that happens, you think about, hey, I made it. You know, how would that feel? But I had that moment and nothing changed. You know, we were still chasing after the same opportunities that we were chasing after before. So my thing was that in sitting back and evaluating that situation, it was like I wanted to create something to get myself out of the rat race and everybody else out of the rat race around me. So what we did was say, where is the industry going and where is the real opportunity? Where's the future? And we noticed it was going to be online. It was the monetization of content online because that's where everybody was. And people were not selling music anymore. So the money wasn't really there like it used to be. So the deals weren't there like it used to be. Everything got tighter. Everything got really clickish. So if you didn't have the relationships, you were not going to get the money. You were not going to get those singles. So we just created a scenario to where it would kind of open up for everybody to monetize online. And we started trying to build that. And it evolved into what Alliance is, which was really, you know, like I said earlier, a management company for artists to kind of funnel their content and get it to monetize online. So that was really the motivation to get out of the rat race of the music industry. And the more I started looking into online monetization of content, the more I started to learn where the real business was and where the future was going to be.
Well, specifically for some of the business owners who may be listening today, how might this fit their needs, and also how might they be engaged as a client for you?
I would say for a small business owner, I can give an example. If you look at YouTube, what YouTube does, they have advertisers, their banner ads, their commercials that run over the music content. Like, for instance, Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber, they have like billions of views on those YouTube videos, and YouTube monetizes off of those ads. It's the same opportunity with what we do. We'll have different ranges of artists, from independent to mid-major to potentially some major artists, that we have the content that we might have shot the video, or we have the rights to distribute that video. We can actually use the merchant's advertising as the advertisement on that video, the same way YouTube does it. So that gives an opportunity for these advertisers to leverage this artist's brand and their popularity to get more viewership, to get more customers.
And are they able to then purchase products directly off the videos as
Actually,
well?
Actually, they are. And that's one of our unique things that we have in partnership with Mahala. Mahala allows us to monetize that content right there from the video, which I haven't seen anybody else be able to do that right now. So, yeah, that's the big thing. That was really the biggest part of what I was looking for, because most of what we were looking to do, we kind of accomplished it within like the first year and a half after we started the company. But the last piece was, how are we going to create a secured system, a secure platform to monetize this content? And it was hard. It was hard finding it. And luckily, I went out to Silicon Valley and searched for, hoping to find that solution somewhere. And I bumped into Sunny in Silicon Valley at a tech convention, and I saw Mahala, and the idea hit me in my head, like, oh, can I use this to monetize my content? And it was the same vision. He actually built it, the first phase of it, to do just that. So yeah, Mahala actually is one of the key things to actually making this whole thing real. And I think Sonny can probably give the spiel on Mahala a little bit better than me and go into further detail on it.
Great segue to Brandon. Thank you. Thank you. And we do have Sonny Fisher with us today, and Sonny is the CEO of Mahala, and we wanted to talk just a little bit about that and then hopefully get back with Brandon, and we can have a little bit of a roundtable and talk about how these types of solutions can work for a lot of the business owners that we're working with today. So, Sonny, good morning again.
Yeah, good morning.
And tell us just a little bit about Mahala, how it came about, and we'll go into some of those purchasing details.
Well, the history of Mahala is interesting because it started out as a way to monetize, to help the unbanked people in South Africa. You can hear from my accent, I'm not from Georgia, I'm a little bit more south, South Africa.
Florida.
Yeah, a little bit more. And I worked with some of the major banks in South Africa addressing the problem of how to bank the unbanked. There are 2.7 billion people in the world who don't have bank accounts because they can't afford them. And I started a company that looked at how we can solve that problem. And the answer was Mahala. Mahala means free. And you know, we realized with the research that we did that the only way we can bank the unbanked is to make banking free. And the only way we can make banking free is we need to create a global platform that allows banked and unbanked people to work together so we can get enough scale to make it make economic sense. So in the process, what we did was we figured out how to monetize the social networks, monetize Facebook, which we think is going to be pretty rad. There are a lot of people who have content, products, big communities, people with 12 million followers. And what we've managed to do is find a secure way to accept payments on Facebook. We're launching it in about 2 weeks' time, and we think it's going to revolutionize a whole lot of industries. And that's where we teamed up with the Alliance group. They have the artists who have the followings and they have the content, but there was no way to securely monetize it, and that's really the breakthrough. So out of coming up with a solution for the poor people, we've come up with a solution that I think is going to address a whole lot of industries. And it's quite interesting. It's not the first time that's been done. I don't know how many people know that SMS was actually invented as a tool for poor people to communicate. Just so happens that most of the SMSs were sent by, you know, kids. And, I mean, I know how many SMSs I still send. So what we've done is we took technology that was developed with poor people in mind and with the challenges and security issues around people who are currently unbanked, and came up with a nice way to solve a problem that people in the developed world are looking for, and that's a way to monetize the content.
Well, I think it's important that we point out again that the solution that Facebook has been looking for years, all of the business owners, all of the business strategists that are out there today, we're talking about that solution now. So let's go into that a little bit more. What is the solution?
Okay, so what we did was we took a couple of proven technologies and modified them to do what we were looking for. So what we did was we took the QR code. That's a quick response code. I think everybody's familiar with them. They see them all over the place. It's that funny-looking barcode that you see on posters, in newspaper ads. And if you scan it with a QR scanner, it'll take you to a URL which will tell you more information about the product. So we took that technology and said, how can we use this in the payment space to make payments secure? So with our security experts, we came up with some technology that we've patented that takes the conventional QR code and uses very sophisticated encryption using 256-bit encryption and appends a digital signature to the QR code, and it then becomes a secure QR code, or an SQR code as we've termed it. And what that does is that makes that code tamper-proof. So you can now take one of those images posted on Facebook, and instantly 10 million people, if you've got 10 million followers, 10 million people can take their smartphones, scan that image, which has been posted on the wall, and all they have to do is enter in their PIN code, and the transaction's completed. And what we do is we keep your payment information securely at the bank. So we don't ever give the merchant or anybody your payment information. So really what we've done is we've revolutionized the way payments work. Historically, you would always give the merchant your payment information, your card details. Now, we've all had our payment credentials stolen at some point. By using this SQR code in our payment gateway, we've made it secure to do transactions. So a little bit technical, but you know, basically we've taken the old QR code and we've made it secure, and that's the revolution. That means you can do payments on Facebook, on Twitter, you can do them online, you can stick these SQR codes on your T-shirts, you can stick them on posters. So for businesses, it's a great way to do e-commerce without having to set up a website.
Sonny, let's talk about an example, maybe using DeBrandon's company. So let's say we're on YouTube and we see a video. Maybe it's an artist that DeBrandon works with, and I guess at the end of the video, the barcode, whatever the term you use, will pop up there.
We've done one better. So the problem with current advertising on things like YouTube is, first of all, everybody ignores those ads at the bottom because you're there to watch the content. So they have a very small success rate. But the problem is, if you do respond to the ad, it's even worse for the content owner because that's going to redirect you away from the website and you're now going to be purchasing something. And most people don't go back to the content they were watching. So it kind of defeats the purpose, right? With our system, what we do is we overlay the SQR code on the content on the bottom third of the screen. So you know you see it at the moment when you're watching television and you see the logo of the network or the logo of the show that you're watching. We take that space and we present the QR code with the details of what the special is. So let's say you were a pizza company, and at 7 o'clock at night you would air your ad. And it would say pizza $10, and all the customer has to do is scan that code that's on the screen. The rest of the transaction happens on your phone, so you haven't diverted the person away from the content. So you put in your PIN code, the pizza's on its way, and you're still watching the show. So it's a great way to transact without interfering with the customer watching the content. And you can do the same thing on Facebook.
And DeBrandon, for your company, that helps you, I guess, what are the products might be, what, CDs or albums or downloads of music?
Yeah, it's definitely downloads of music. Or for most artists, successful artists, live events and merchandising at that live event is where they're going to make a lot of money. So by doing this, now the artists can really sell their own product from their content. So right now, today, everybody is getting views on YouTube. You can get 1 million views on a YouTube video, but that's not really making you any money. YouTube might throw you a couple pennies. In a sense, the music and the video content is almost promotional. Not to devalue it, but in this transitional period, we're at a point to where it is kind of being leveraged as promotional to get people to come to the shows and to purchase something else. So with that being said, with an artist now having the power to sell whatever those other products are while people are watching that video, they could either sell some of the advertiser, their sponsor's products, or they can sell like a package CD or a zip file with multiple albums and content, something of value, or tickets to a show. So you can come to the show and then buy everything there too.
Or a T-shirt from the show. T-shirt from the show, tennis shoes.
Right.
Anything you want to sell online. If you're watching a sports program, for example, you could buy sports memorabilia, other things of that nature. And the great thing about it, from what I understand, is you have the account set up right in advance, set it up once.
Absolutely. What we've done is we've disintermediated a whole lot of the advertising process. So in the old days, you would have a network that was handling the advertising. You would have, if you look at television, it's an ad-based model. The problem was that they had to aggregate the eyeballs. So if you take somebody like an Oprah, she would have an audience of, say, 8 million people per show. You can then sell that advertising space to advertisers because they're eyeballs. The way that the industry's moved is, you know, they're regularly, there are lots and lots of people who have 10 million followers, but no way to monetize that. So what we're doing is we're taking that audience and saying, now even a small merchant, somebody who's got a pizza store in Alpharetta, can place those ads and display them to people in their area, because we now have location-based information because we're using the customer's smartphone. So we know where they are. So we can say, right, all the customers within a 10-mile radius, we can present that ad. And the beautiful thing about Mahala is you only pay for results. So if nobody buys pizza, it doesn't cost you anything. But we think that's, you know, the optimal way to do it. And what's exciting from an Alliance point of view and the artists is as the music industry changed and the traditional revenue streams fell away, there was nothing to replace it. So there's this big void of people who are now making money out of selling T-shirts when actually they're musicians. Mm-hmm. So what we're doing is we're trying to streamline that whole process and get it back to where people pay for content. Now, people are never going to buy songs, in my opinion. I think that model's over. Mm-hmm. So who's going to pay the artist for their content? Well, the answer is advertisers. It's the model that works in TV, right? It's the advertisers who are making the TV shows, CSI Miami, whatever. That money's coming from the advertisers. What we're doing is we're democratizing that whole thing. We're taking it down a level in the supply chain, and we're taking it to the smaller merchants. And my background's in point of sale. I've been working with small restaurants and retail stores for 20 years. The challenge in a small business is how do you get new customers into the store, and how do you get dead stock out of your store if you're a retail business? So what we focused on was providing a platform that does both of those things. It provides a great platform to bring new customers in where you only pay for results, unlike a Groupon or some of the other methods that really are not effective and very expensive. So for little or no investment, they can now advertise, bring new people into the store, as well as have a look at what merchandise they've got that they need to get rid of, and they can target that on things like Facebook. So what we're doing is we're going to where the audience is, as opposed to having to create a new station or a new website where you have to drive ours to. Mm-hmm. The answer is, you know, Facebook. People are spending 45 minutes a day on Facebook. If you want to sell them something, I think that's where you should be selling.
Well, you mentioned going to where the audience is. I think that is a critical point, and that's one of the things that that you guys have in common, I think, the audience that you can bring. You mentioned Sonny hearing a song 20 times in a day. But, DeBrandon, you can bring an audience of people who have Twitter followers mm-hmm. that are in the hundreds of thousands to millions
yeah.
to that, right?
Yeah.
You can bring them there, and they can see content, mm-hmm. and then they have the option to buy the advertising from that content, right? By using, again, the SQR code, and by using the system set up by Mahala, they have an account set up, they're ready, they can purchase anything. From soup to nuts.
Exactly.
And you have a patent on this technology.
Indeed, we do.
So you're about to become a gazillionaire right now. This is cutting in technology. I want to make sure that we stay like in touch.
Just to be clear, a squillionaire. Okay, a squillionaire.
A squillionaire. Yeah. It's even better than
exactly.
a gazillionaire.
Exactly.
Well, you know, a great example of that is that we were testing this technology, kind of working out through some of the technical difficulties one day. Mm-hmm. And we had a football star in our offices that day. And why don't you tell them that story just real quick, DeBrandon?
Yeah, so we were preparing to find a launch partner. And we were really gearing everything up to test the model out. And I had just... I've been working on some other things with a particular football star, Roddy White, Atlanta Falcons wide receiver. So we're working on a couple projects together, me and his brothers, Tony and Carlos. So this day, I kind of set it up as a surprise as we were working things out, and I surprised Sonny and Robert and had Roddy come down to the office for us to, you know, present everything to him to show him what the opportunity was. Long story short, after we showed him what it was, we kind of let him know, hey, we can go live straight to Facebook. And he saw us do it, and we were like, hey, what if, imagine if you actually went live to Facebook, to this channel, and you tweeted all your fans to do a Q&A session with you. And he did it. He caught our bluff on it, and he tweeted it out. And within, I think about... within the 15 to 20 minutes that we did this Q&A session, I can't remember. I think it was like 8,000 impressions.
Yep. 8,000 people,
yeah. 8,000 impressions right there. And he tweeted this thing about 7 minutes before he went live.
And, so. And to set the stage, this was done at 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, completely impromptu, no warning.
Yeah.
All he did was tweet, and next thing, 7,000 people are watching. Now, from a business perspective, that's quite a captive market. That's quite an opportunity. We could have sold those people anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that gives you some effect of the numbers. And when you do things and you have popular celebrities tweet these things out in advance, the 20 songs a day is nothing, right?
No, absolutely.
So how do you work with these people to get them to do those types of things? Stars from all the different venues.
I mean, it's the pain is there across the board. I mean, people are not making the money they used to at all.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a no-brainer, right? You've got somebody with 100,000 followers or a million followers, and they're not making one nickel out of it.
Yeah.
We're offering them the opportunity to turn that into money. The general response has been, yes, please.
Right. You know,
there isn't anybody that I've spoken to that thought that was a bad idea.
Because you mentioned there's no really upfront fee. You only make money if they make money.
Yeah. It's a traditional model that's been long forgotten. It's called win-win. You know, I think some of the big businesses and the bigger businesses out there think win-win means they win twice. You know, but no, we spent a long time making sure that everybody wins. The artist, the business owner, you know, the advertiser, and the customer. There's got to be something in it for everybody. Otherwise, mm-hmm. people aren't going to adopt it. So that was a big part of our whole strategy.
What is the next stage for your company, for both of you? I mean, where do you go from here? Because you have something that I think you've captured something, some magic in a bottle here. How do you now get it to the worldwide stage? How do you let people know about it, other than coming on Business Radio X?
We're now promoting it aggressively, and funnily enough, the best way to sell the platform is to use the platform. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be launching with guys like Roddy White, who are going to be selling some stuff, raising some money. We're working with charities. It's a great platform to collect money. So we're working with an amazing charity here in Atlanta called Serve International, and we're going to be doing a fundraising drive with them. We've got a whole lot of celebrities, music artists, actors who are going to be endorsing the product and also promoting the social good around this whole project, and that is banking the unbanked. We've got a massive drive that we're going to be launching here in the U.S. There are 50 million people in the U.S. who don't have bank accounts. 50 million. There also happen to be 50 million people in the U.S. who don't know where their next meal is coming from. Those are amazing statistics. You know, coming from South Africa, we expect to see that kind of thing, and it's a big, big problem here in the U.S. And we're working with church organizations and charities and there are a lot of people who are getting behind the banking the unbanked, so that's going to drive a lot of the publicity because it's really a great story that everyone can get involved in. And then there's also the fun aspect of it and getting people to sell stuff on Facebook. I think I joke, I say to people, it's like Adam said to Eve, you know, stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get, right? So we're hoping that monetizing Facebook is going to explode. At the end of the day, you can advertise and you can market, but good products don't need that. You know, Google didn't advertise, Facebook didn't advertise. If you've got something that people want, it should take care of itself.
I'm sure we have a lot of people that are listening that are business owners or business strategists that are saying, okay, that's fine for a pizza company or a T-shirt sales over the internet or a tennis shoe sales company. But how can I use that? And if you were to answer that question, Sonny, how would you tell a business owner they could use that in their particular business?
Okay, well, there are two areas that would apply. The one is if you're somebody who wants to take credit cards physically, and then there's the online opportunity. Either way, if they go to www.mahala.us, they can register and sign up as a merchant, and that allows you to do two things. It gives you access to a merchant portal where you can go and create the items you want to sell. So if I wanted to sell a coffee cup. I could go there, put in the description, the price, upload an image, and it will generate an SQR code. You can say, I've got 100 in stock, and you're now free to post that on your Facebook page or put it in store, wherever you want to put that image. And people will be able to buy that coffee cup until you run out of stock. So that's the way to sell things, and anybody can do it. It's 5 steps to create an SQR code. It's the easiest thing in the world, and you can start selling your stuff, whether it's you make jewelry at home or whether you're a big business who's, you know, wants to sell, generators, anything. Anything that you want to sell using e-commerce, using Facebook, you can go and create the items. And then we have a credit card acquiring app which you can load on iPhone or Android, which is really like a competitor to Square, if I can put it in perspective. The only thing is we don't use a dongle. If you go to hashtag ditch the dongle and you can voice your support, the dongle's so old-fashioned, and giving somebody, particularly a small merchant, my credit card, not that happy to do it. So with our technology, you just download the app. You don't need a hardware device, and when the customer buys from you, they just scan your phone. So that's really going to replace the old traditional method of trying to swipe with that damn dongle thing. So there are two opportunities, a retailer or anybody who wants to, you know, you could be a plumber who wants to get paid. You could, you know, be doing odd jobs, or you could, you know, be a professional chiropractor, and you can now accept credit cards securely. Also, so happens that we've got the cheapest rate. We're cheaper than Square and PayPal and all the others. So you've got a really cheap and secure way of accepting credit cards in person. And then they can create these SQRs online and start making money.
Excellent. And that, again, is the secure SQR code that is patented.
Correct.
And that you can't just go to any website and create, right?
Absolutely. Right. I was CEO of an IT security company, the largest IT security company in Africa, and that's really my background and how we figured out how to make this thing secure. So that's really the breakthrough.
Well, from that standpoint, DeBrandon, where do you look for? What are you looking for future clients, and what's the market going to hold there for us?
Future client for me would be really any content provider. Anybody that has content that they want to monetize, or any advertiser or merchant that wants to create an advertisement, whether it be video, whether it be graphic or anything, really anyone that has content and anyone that wants to advertise.
So if I had a product, let's say I'm a heating and air conditioning company, I could actually come to you. You could provide some content, and then we could also sell supplies or service calls via SQR code over that content while they're watching the content by going to where the people are, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, if it's a local, heating or AC company, what we could do is I can figure out what the market is, and we could send advertisements to that particular market. I mean, it could be via Facebook. It could be via our platform that we're building. And we could attach it to the right type of content. We wouldn't attach it just to any random content. It'd be the right type of content to get that customer. And, of course, like you said, they can set up their own merchant account with Mahala and sell their product.
Very good. Very good. Well, if our customers want to, and the business owners that hear the radio show today want to find out more about Alliance, how would you suggest that they go about that?
They could actually go to alliancegroup.com, which is ALIANCEGROUP.com, or you can email me directly at d.white, like the color, at alliancegroup.com.
Excellent. Great. And Sonny, if business owners or other folks would like to get a hold of you or find out more about Mahala, how best would they go about doing that?
Yeah, our website's got everything you need, www.mahala, that's MAHALA.US, and merchants can sign up there and they can start making money.
And Mahala means free, as you said.
That's right.
What language would that be?
Zulu.
Zulu.
Yeah.
I figured it, I was one of those from down there in South Africa, but I wasn't sure which one. Now I know free in Zulu.
There we go.
Well, thank you both for joining us today. We really appreciate it, and I hope this show was informative, and I encourage all of our listeners to play the show over and over again on Business Radio X and really understand the concept. It may take one or two times listening to the program to really understand that concept, but once you see it, the light bulb comes on, I think you'll see that there are huge revenue opportunities for your company as well. So, gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Randy, I know these guys have been really busy. This is amazing. I think it's going to explode. As I said, I want to stay in touch with these guys because when they're way up there, I want them to remember me. But I know, Randy, you've been busy as well at Meridian Star Merchant Services.
Yes, and we really enjoy working with businesses like this because we really focus on being able to cater to the needs of payment processing and better serve our clients, whether that be through mobile processing, standalone credit card terminals, or complete point-of-sale transactions. And with the rapid changes in technology that we've seen and we continue to see on a daily basis, just like was illustrated in the show today, we really try to focus on that and make sure that everyone is PCI compliant, give them the training that they need, and the unlimited technical support and customer support that they might need as well.
I'm not sure when you have time to watch all these Braves games you've been watching, but I guess you make it work.
Well, since they were on until 11:15 last night, I guess that tells the story, right?
Hopefully no extra innings tonight since I got to cover the game tonight as well.
Okay, well, great show today. And, gentlemen, thanks again. Our guests have been to Brandon White, CEO of Atliance Strategic Global Branding, and also Sonny Fisher, CEO and founder of Mahala. Remember, you can listen to our show live every Tuesday morning at 11:30 a.m. on this Business Radio X station. You can also listen to any of our shows anytime, 24/7, by logging onto our website, partnersforsuccess.businessradiox.com. Partners for Success is presented by Meridian Star Merchant Services, your partner in processing, where we not only have the best rates in the industry, we're always there when you need us. Call us anytime at 1-855-MER-STAR. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Mike Salmon, for making the show run like a well-tuned machine.
Thank you, Randy. It's been a very interesting show.
And this is Randy Hicks. We look forward to you joining us next week right here on Partners for Success.